Welcome to the Nerd Party.
I'm Darren Moser.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Daniel Prue.
And this is City Alpha 3.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to City Alpha 3, a Star Trek podcast here on the Nerd Party Network. I am Daniel Prue, joined as always by my two illustrious co-hosts. We have Moser Darren and Gilfus Philip. How are you guys doing?
Yes, in the true way of my people, thank you for pronouncing my name right.
Right.
Of course.
And am I supposed to be wearing this jewelry during the podcast? Is that allowed?
Get it off!
My continent has it on both ears. I don't know if that's okay, or do I have to take one off? It's a little weird.
You can only wear it on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. That's it.
Only if you save
the day.
That's
a win-win-win.
You scheduled my duty shift on the Sabbath, so I'm going to have problems with that. Space Sabbath.
Just so happens to fall on Spring Ball Day as well. So don't use that excuse on me. Hey, guys, how's your Star Trek week going? Do you guys do anything fun?
I've been continuing my TOS rewatch, of course. I think this is the episode title. I didn't pay attention, but I assume it's The Wink of an Eye. I believe that's the title.
The wink and blink and slink of an eye.
And that's the one where, like, 100% Kirk had sex with her. I mean, like, it's, like, not even, like, it's, like, they're kissing in his quarters and then, like, something and then come back.
And then, like, the next morning.
He's putting his boots on. You know, like, okay, all right, well. Which is weird because he's being held captured by her. So, it's... Doesn't help. I'm trying to get my wife...
Relationships of the future are a little different, Philip.
I'm trying to get my wife not to roll her eyes when I'm watching this. It's not helping. Come on.
Good luck.
What about you, Darren? Anything exciting going on?
Nothing particular. Just having another good week. But I think, I don't know, I have an extra Audible credit, so I'm kind of eyeing some of the books and deciding if I want to get another one. I still have a few on my listen list. I think one of the newest Voyager one with the Circle Fleet I haven't listened to yet because I've kind of been into that a little bit. But I don't know if nothing else has really jumped out at me.
Will Audible let you buy a 10th copy of Ship of the Line? I'm not sure.
I don't know if Audible even has Ship of the Line.
Well.
Oh, well, there you go. Now you know what you're going
to
eat.
Now I need to record it for them and just send them a copy and be like, hey, guys, saw you didn't have this in your catalog.
CC Kelsey Grammer. You can just.
Yo. Oh, man. I would listen to that. Kelsey Grammer reading that. I think he'd do an amazing job.
Yeah, he's a... He'll probably be busy upcoming. I've heard rumblings. I'm not sure. Saw some headlines about the Frasier comeback. But get him before that.
Is this a comeback or is this one of those, what is it? I'm going to say resurrection shows. It's not what they call it. It's a...
Relaunch? I guess it's like a Picard.
I'm thinking of like what they did with... Gilmore Girls, where it was a reunion, it's like a mini series of the show, but it's not, or like one more season at best, but it's not like they're planning on doing more than that.
Maybe. I don't know. I have no idea.
I did get more doll furniture in, thanks to Triple Fiction Productions. I have sort of a mini Enterprise E bridge set. He was selling more, but I just wanted to get my little portion of it, so like it's I don't know measurements. Darren,
did you melt down some of the plastic from your Playmates Enterprise D and fuse it into the plastic of the new Enterprise E bridge set?
I thought I'd always get a shot at that chair one day. I also got like a little mini replicator to add to my 10 forward that I already have.
And, good, they won't starve now. That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. I need something for the 40 chocolate sundaes.
Oh yes.
And Philip, we were talking before recording, but do you want to also mention that you made jokes about it the past couple of weeks? But it sounds like HD Voyager footage is actually a reality, or will be a reality in the near future.
Oh, those poor Enterprise fans left
Time's
with nothing.
Time's up on your kidding. HD footage.
They're the ones who had HD first. Yeah, so I guess that completes it. I mean, we've had obviously TOS. Redone. I don't know if it's technically HD, but remastered.
It is.
It is.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So TNG, of course, was next. Enterprise already was, or at least was the easiest to make it so, if you will, to use a phrase. So do you have Voyager's the last one, I guess, right? Everyone else is good to go. So the entire.
Well, I mean, good to go. We've
a
got
couple
like
of clips
2 minutes
at best.
Yeah, we've got 2 minutes of Deep Space Nine HD footage from the whole series.
What more do you want? I mean, that's.
And I imagine that'll be the same case here with the Voyager stuff. They'll pick a clip from, I don't know.
Probably when it's hanging from a Christmas tree, I assume. That's probably.
Yeah. Maybe that snowy episode with
Timeless.
Harry. Yep. Yeah.
Well, I'm just waiting for. Crashing. I feel honestly that what's going to flip the switch is when. Because it feels like we're close. They're
as long
close.
As it's not 1959, is all I'm saying.
That 1159, yes.
1159, sorry. Yeah. Here I am.
Yeah, we know what you meant. The Millennia Gate, yes. <Yeah. laughs> I feel. We're probably on the cusp of like AI HD conversion algorithms. And I think once that really becomes a thing, that's what you're going to see, you know, making this conversion through software. I think that's probably what it's going to take.
Yeah. But
is it bad?
It's cheap and easy.
Is it bad that I know that they will do the timeless portion just so they can have that part in the documentary when, like, you know, things are going together, but, you know, due to the arguments and disagreements, Voyager could be lost, and it just shows Voyager going.
Oh, I see. So they're picking
little visual gag with the dialogue.
They're picking HD clips based on how well it cuts together to the narrative. They're
exactly. Exactly.
In the documentary,
it'll be the Voyager explosion from not Parallax. The one when there were the two Voyagers.
Okay, guys, we need an HD shot of beep beep beep. I mean, can we all be in agreement here? I mean,
hey, that's not a bad idea. Actually, I didn't even think about.
Yeah, why is there no Zoom with Andy Dick? That should be a perk.
I'm fine without that. I'm absolutely fine without that. But to see the relativity in HD, that would be cool. Yeah, I'd definitely be down for that. Was it the relativity? Shoot. What?
No, no. Prometheus is what you're thinking.
Prometheus, thank you. Relativity is the time ship. Yep.
Mm-hmm. But still,
that'd be
also a cool ship.
Yeah, I was going to say, that'd be a good episode to do, too. There's some good stuff in there. Hopefully they pick the right stuff. But as long as I don't get 2 hours of Brandon Braga talking, I'll be okay.
It's like, guys, 80% of our HD upgrade is 2VIX, so we're going to have to find a way.
That would be the ultimate troll. That would be so funny.
I'm almost, I don't know, I go 50-50. I was going to say 100%, so I'm 50-50, which is entirely different. Is that 2VIX will be an extra feature. Like, they will not reference it. Like, you know, with the DS9, because again, if you watch the DS9 documentary, at the end, you have... Nana and I were talking during the credits, like, this is what we didn't include, but I imagine they're talking about everything that could be in the bonus features, because I don't have the, you know, actual hard copy. So, but I feel like 2VIX is just going to be, we're not going to talk about it during the documentary. It's going to be a bonus feature on the DVD.
Question, like, okay, let's say you have the footage of stuff shot or extended interviews. Why not release that in some sort of secondary package? Like, yes, it doesn't fit into the narrative, because obviously... documentaries are usually a singular narrative, like to be watched like a movie. But in today's digital age, it's like, why not put the extended interview in some form that's accessible? Like there's no reason to just throw that stuff on the floor. Like there's no reason to do that anymore.
Yeah, even if it was like on their website or something like that, that would be I would go click on it for sure. I'd watch it. I was thinking too, when you brought up 2VIX, we talked last week about like. Who's going to narrate
this
thing?
As a joke, Daniel. As a joke, yeah.
No, who's going to narrate this thing? I said, bring back the 2VIX actor.
Yeah, actor.
And have him narrate the thing. That would be fun.
No, bring back the guy who played the commander in the pilot who died.
Oh, Cavett. Lieutenant Commander Cavett.
I don't know. My guess is I'm betting Robert Picardo. I feel he's got a good narrator voice. But we'll see.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, it's doing gangbusters, right? It's making the
Platinum,
whatever it's called, is making all that money. So maybe it'll be the fundraising. Maybe they'll get enough for Kate. That'd be great.
Oh, that'd be hilarious if that was the next stretch goal.
$1 million
to include Kate Mulgrew. You're like, she wasn't going to be.
Well, as you said, Philip. So right now they are at the time of recording 834. And some change, $1,000, and their top stretch goal is at $1 million. An exclusive, never before seen Voyager surprise. Vague.
Yep.
Vague.
Is it the what's it called? The Aero Shuttle?
Oh yeah. Well, we have that footage, you know, of the Aero Shuttle landing. That's all it is, just HD Aero Shuttle footage.
Oh, what would after all this hard work, would Voyager land with the fans? HD footage of Voyager landing on the planet.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Maybe. Like how all of your HD theories, Philip, just come down to bad puns.
Yep.
Or maybe they release, you know, in true 90s fashion, like some sort of Magic Eye poster or something like
that. Magic Eye poster. That'd be pretty awesome, actually.
All the stretch goals should just be 90s based. That would get me.
That would be fun.
Like a crew jacket.
You know, slap wrist, you get a Voyager jackets. Slap wrist.
if we make it to 1 million, everybody gets pogs. Voyager pogs for everyone.
It's like a night. Well, remember that? It was that nightstand clock, but it's literally just like a vacuform plastic outline and like a little teeny, like, was from your Casio watch, you know, inserted into it. It looked so bad.
I was also thinking if it makes 1 million. You know, it'll be narrated by Kate, and if it makes 1 million and a quarter, Kate as Red.
So, just doing the Russian accent the whole time. Yeah. I like it.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun. Anyways, it's neither here nor there, and I'm sure we will absolutely go watch and talk about the documentary when it comes out, inevitably 2 or 3 years from now, whatever, how long it takes. But that'll be fun, I'm sure. So, but that's not what we're talking about today, guys. Today we're going to do another What If. And just like before, I was trying to take something that kind of was implied or hinted at.
It's like
or
a half-truth of Star Trek.
Exactly. There's an element of it in Star Trek. And this one's more of a behind-the-scenes thing. But we're going to do a What If Ro Laren was on Deep Space Nine instead of Kira. So
what was the behind that? Like, I mean, I know, but like for our listeners.
Oh,
like,
sure. Yeah.
Like, why Ro Laren? You know,
so this was some pretty decent world building back in the 90s because Ro Laren wasn't like, I think even based on like the original conception of the character was she was going to go on to do something else. And at the time, Michelle Forbes was just like, I don't want to sign 7 years of my life away. So I'm not going to do that.
Back then, you actually got 7 years of Star Trek when you did a new show. So
yeah.
Sorry, Scott.
But so they created her character is what is established in deep or in Next Gen for a couple episodes with her launching, transferring over with Miles O'Brien, linked arms. Over onto Deep Space Nine. Okay.
That was the initial idea. But then you know once the real life stuff got in the way, it didn't work out, which is too bad because. Well, it's too bad on one hand. I'm a big fan of Michelle Forbes, and I know a lot of people really love Kira. So, I mean, it's one half dozen the other, I guess. But it would have been a slightly different show. I will say, like, of course, there's a lot of things that we could just say, oh, they would have just been essentially the same character. But I think there are some important differences.
Yeah.
And
I think Major Kira not being Starfleet is a bit of a difference for one.
A huge thing. So I don't know how you guys want to handle this, but I was figuring we could at least just start with Emissary and then kind of just go through the bigger changes that would have might have affected the Deep Space Nine ethos further on down the line.
You know, it's interesting, Daniel. Brief interruption. Because when you were telling us, you know, what if Ro Laren's Deep Space Nine, which, you know, what we've discussed before, in my mind, I was wondering, is it an either or? Like, what if the both were on there? And then my second part was, what if instead of bringing in Worf in season 4, they brought in Ro instead? But anyway, that's not what you're throwing out. But that's just where my mind's going. So anyway,
but that's a cool idea. To see them interact would be interesting because they were both based off the same kind of archetypal character. Right. Like they have the same basic backstory. They have the same, like, you know, at the very base level, they're obviously different characters, of course, and portrayed very differently by their respective actresses. But it's go ahead.
So here's my first question: does Ro stay in Starfleet and she is coming with Sisko, or does she still wash out and join like the Bajoran Maquis, and now she is on the station, but from the other side? She was assigned to the station from the Bajoran side.
Well, I point out, so Preemptive Strike is a 7th season TNG episode. DS9 is already in season 3.
Oh, good point. Yep.
very important. The timeline is
timeline, Daniel. Don't have time to talk about what you do. It's really important.
Yeah, so we've gotten, you know what, I didn't pull up the list of episodes, but we would have gotten Disaster. We would have gotten the first one that she was in, which
so like maybe two or three episodes of
Conundrum
before she
is that
jumps.
The other one?
That sounds right-ish.
With her and Riker.
Okay. So we're leaning towards she's a Starfleet
officer.
She's
still officer. In Starfleet. Well,
okay.
She was recommissioned on the Enterprise.
Right.
With her field, what was she? Was she a lieutenant?
Ensign.
Oh, duh, yeah. Duh. I know that's
right.
Part of her.
It's all right.
Was it Ensign Row? I don't know.
but she was promoted to lieutenant by seventh season. So I'll give you the confusion.
Right. Okay.
We'll call it junior grade. We'll split the difference.
Well, it's an interesting question.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to say an interesting question because you're saying if we're 100% replacing, as you said, she was originally written for that role. But anyway, so we're replacing Kira So. An ensign first officer, I mean, whatever, we make up our own rules on this. You know, we have ensign ops and ensign cadets as first officers. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. But, you know, are we going to, like, because we have a commander coming in as the station commander. And so I don't know if she just gets, like, a full lieutenant promotion when she comes in Deep Space Nine. Or I mean, that's a small detail, I know. But just we are saying XO.
So I think it's less, to me, in my mind, it's less that she was the XO and more that she was the liaison.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why Ro would work as a liaison, because obviously being Bajoran herself and also still Starfleet. So I think if
liaison, but on the other side of the line, like Kira's a liaison, but she's on the Bajoran side, whereas Ro's a liaison, but she's on the Starfleet side.
She's almost Starfleet's liaison to Bajor instead of Bajor's liaison.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we would probably still, in some capacity, have to have a Bajoran. I mean, we would have
Kira-ish
to have a Bajoran character.
Type role.
Right. Well, I
maybe
do like
that's
that.
More Beryl or something like that.
I'm not
saying with a love triangle. I'm just saying, like, you know, where. Because, I mean, okay, not to jump around, but, like, the biggest shift I feel with Ro versus Kira is Ro wasn't there during the occupation. So I think she's going to have massive survivor's guilt and be, you know, because Kira was in the trenches during the occupation.
I mean, Ro was there. She was a little girl. Because she saw, like, it's the same thing. Like, she saw her father died. Am I making that up?
Oh, that's true. But I mean... For the most part,
she wasn't freedom
fighting.
Her
character feels like, she was in Starfleet for the majority of it, or when she could get out. So now she's like on the other end of the occupation being done, but she wasn't, she kind of self feels, or other Bajorans could accuse her of basically just abandoning her people. Like, you know, they're going to tie into that.
But I also like that there's a bit of a conflict if we're doing what we're doing, because
I guess we can have conflict. It's DS9. It's okay.
Because, in a sense, and I don't know how you even want to play this, Ben could be wary, because where does her loyalty lie? Is it with Starfleet or Bajor? Because he doesn't know her. She's the mutineer, or, you know, I don't, you know, just like Michael. Because, you know, maybe she has, like, Roe, Laren. Cause I don't know if she's redeemed herself throughout the whole fleet. She's redeemed herself on the Enterprise. They
Riker
still know her.
Trusts her, but that's about it.
Yeah, well, he does something to her. And so it could just be, but then it's interesting, of course, because I don't think she's very spiritual, you know, as opposed to Kira, who very much was spiritual. And so when Sisko becomes the emissary, it's like Kira, you know, ultimately
she only
set.
Prays on
the High Holy Days,
Bajoran Easter and Bajoran Christmas.
Yeah, yeah.
No, she definitely specifically talks about it in
Rascals.
I was thinking the Geordi episode.
Because
she's like, I did the religious thing when I was there, but, like, I was never really into it.
Yeah.
And then she was like, but maybe this is real. Maybe that, like, and
that's
we're ghosts or whatever, space ghosts.
Coast to coast.
All right.
So, yeah. So, okay. So we definitely still need to, if we're just going to write this for fun, we need to, so Rose.
Oh, wait, we're not getting paid for this?
No, believe it or not, I know.
And worthless gold.
Okay, so I looked up the episodes, Ensign Ro, which was the first one she was in, Disaster, Conundrum, Power Play, which doesn't really do much for Ensign Ro, and Cause and Effect, and The Next Phase. And I don't remember her being in Cause and Effect. I guess I just probably...
I mean, she's just there.
Yeah, she's just there.
At the helm. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, that
while the ship blows up multiple times, he's kind of just...
Anyway. Oh, yeah. Anyways, so if do we still want to keep Kira? Do we want to keep Kira as like a more antagonistic role? Like she's like you know, in the first season, like those terrorists come in and they accuse
Circle
Kira of being stuff. A bootlicker and like what the you know what the heck? Like you were a terrorist like last year, man. You were killing babies or whatever.
You were cool. You're one of us. Now you come like, straight.
So maybe she could just be more of like. Like, because she was really like very not happy with this Federation very early on,
yeah,
and warmed up pretty quickly. So, do we want to keep her not at ops at all, but she's just like involved in the politics and stuff?
So maybe like, she's like planet side.
Here's the thought: we don't necessarily. Well, I mean, do whatever we want. We don't necessarily have to introduce Kira right away.
It's true. It's true.
You know, she could be a new character. I mean, either in second like season or something like that, or.
It's less about Kira and it's more about Kai Winn. As so far as Kai Winn is obviously the antagonistic Bajoran.
Yeah, but Kai Winn's not there in the beginning.
Right.
It's Kai Opaka in season
one. That's right. Oh, Kai Opaka, yeah.
So I'm thinking like maybe, or like Philip, what you were saying is pretty good, but what if we keep Kira and Sisko is struggling so much that he needs assistance dealing with Kira. And maybe that's why he requests Ro.
See, and then for me, that's like a Worf scenario, because it's like the whole, like, Klingon. Right. Klingon.
I still like the fact that she comes with them in the beginning, and she's just, like Philip was saying, like, she's the Starfleet half of the equation so that Sisko can run more of the ship or the station. And yeah, so, I mean, then you get this friendship dynamic that will grow between Kira and Ro, because
yeah, their dynamic would be really interesting because they have so much in common. Like,
right.
you would think they would hit it off. I mean, I guess like maybe Kira would look at her kind of with disdain for leaving because like Kira's stayed and fought the good fight, right? Like she fought the Cardassians the whole time. Literally, she would have died doing it if things had gone another way. Whereas Ro stayed as long as she had to and then got.
Well, maybe it's maybe they reconcile together along the same lines as like Star Trek VI, where, you know, we have the famous line of, you know, it's our generation. If there is to be a peace, it's our generation that's going to have the hardest time living in that peace. Same thing for them. Like, yeah, they have to. They're now at peace with the Cardassians, but it's like, you know. And that, your and, oppressors.
And it being DS9, I mean, that can take a while, you know. It may not be until season 3 or 4 that they're adventures in the holodeck or something, you know.
Right, right. But, I mean, that's an awesome Starfleet thing, though. Or, not sorry, Star Trek thing for Ro and Kira to end up having this awesome friendship and bond and be able to express, you know, just from their trauma of what they both went through.
And I think for a show and I know, Daniel, you'll hate this part, but for a show that's supposed to be focused on the Bajorans, it isn't and isn't. And so I think having two Bajoran characters, you know, kind of shows more diversity among the species. Not that we don't get a lot, but we, you know, there's only one Bajoran character, you know, and so if you have two, you know, that kind of gives you more to play with.
Yeah, I was thinking too, like, I'm of a split mind about this. Like, do we want them to butt heads for the first two seasons, or do we want to kind? Because you would think they would. You would feel they're both very, very strong personalities. But
until they realize they're on the same side, really, it just takes a while.
I think that's like the natural sort of temptation to go down that route. But would you rather see that, or would you rather see like, oh, they instantly click? And like they just work with each other really well. They're just best friends right away because they're
maybe they are antagonistic until the whole thing with Opaka and Kai Winn becomes Kai, and they're both like, well, we got to be on the same side against this because this is terrible.
Or I could see that depending on, you'd have to rewrite Kira a little bit. Maybe she, you know, during the Vedic election, you know, one of the ladies supports.
Is she from a red province or a blue
exactly.
province?
One of the ladies supports, Baril, and one supports Wynn. And then maybe that's their episode where they really, not literally come to blows, but that's sort of like you sort of see. Because, I mean, I think that's an, I mean, it's a 20.
That could be really well written.
Yeah, it's a 2021 thing, but I don't, not that it not happened in the 90s of sort of having.
We didn't have politics in the 90s, Philip. What are you talking about?
Can political differences keep us apart? And right. I mean, there's a million ways you can go. I'm not saying there's, you know, everyone should be happy and, you know, whatever, whatever. But I'm just saying that's an interesting way.
Well, maybe, and use Kira more for, I would always wanted to know more about, like, the provisional government and the you know, Bajoran militia, military. Like, how do you pick up the pieces after your founding government's been obliterated? You're literally filling in the gaps as you go. And yeah, have Kira play more of a political role in the role of her people, not the spiritual leader, but, like, I mean, have her be on the provisional council or something. And, you know, now you have, again, you have a lot of stories about, you know, doing what's best for Bajor. But at the end of the day, the provisional government's goal is to create the permanent government and transfer power, which is always tricky.
So maybe Kira would be the Vedic, right?
Yeah, not that she is a Vedic, but she basically is.
because Vedic is just a title, right? Is it a religious title?
It is. It's a religious title.
Now. It is.
Yeah, it's like cardinal.
It's like a bishop or a cardinal.
Yeah. But what's weird is that the
they can only move diagonal across the station.
Exactly.
That'd be funny. I'm trying to remember the political titles then.
Okay.
She could.
No, and this is always in my confusion. I always want to say it's a theocracy, but technically, and I don't think they necessarily established in the show chronologically, but remember, eventually, we do have First Minister, what's-his-face, her other...
Oh, Jakar. Minister, okay. Yeah, Jakar.
Yeah,
yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jakar. So, not yeah. Jakar.
So maybe she could be like...
That's another station. Jakar.
But because I do think that, you know, no matter where you put Kira, you know, she's a warrior, and then she is now X. She's either been put in the religious side or she's put in the political side. Either side is not natural to her. She's been kicking butt and taking names, and so... But I think... It might be interesting to kind of, and I know DS9 doesn't necessarily want to go into this detail, but that maybe you kind of change the structure of the show a little bit. I mean, not the plot. I mean, on DS9, where instead of it just sort of being like Sisko's in charge and straight line, you can sort of have a branch of where you have Starfleet, which is all Rose in charge of, all the Starfleet personnel, you know, reporting to Ben, and then Kira's in charge of all the Bajoran personnel. And then, you know, reporting to Ben. So you sort of have a parallel command structure because, you know, we only got like Kira, Odo, and Odo's squad, and then maybe some of the nurses in the infirmary. You never really saw, like, I mean, Rom to a certain extent, but that was, you know, like, how does it work?
Dealing with Quark and Odo would be on Kira's side.
Yeah.
Because they're non-Starfleet personnel, they're civilian personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's. Oh, where is that thought going? Oh, I was thinking it would be interesting if Ro was the true believer on the emissary, but Kira was like, no, the Starfleet guy is the emissary of the prophets versus what we get in the show where Kira's like, you know, no, you're the emissary. Like, I'm serving with the emissary. And Sisko's the one who's like, no.
Yeah. I mean, it would have to, because that comes later anyways. You know what I mean? Like, Kira's whole journey with her acceptance of Sisko as the emissary, like, that comes
true. That does take a while.
Deep into it, so I don't know what changing it earlier
well,
on.
Well, I felt like she always believed it. It just, she...
To me, that was a bit of a... I mean, this is my opinion, people. It, to me, it was always a bit of a retcon, because there's some episode, I think it's the one where the second emissary shows up. And I think I believe this is right.
The poet from the prophets or something.
And she had, and he's been saying something, you know, in the middle or last part of the episode, like, you know, he just says this and you do it. And she's like, if you had said anything, we would have done it. But I was like, that doesn't track with what I thought saw of Kira from the previous seasons. I mean, I think
it's like
a good retcon.
You tried to punch me in the face, Kira. Like, I don't know if this is.
But I think it'd be interesting because we never got any, to me, real backstory about Rose. Mutiny, whatever she did, her bad thing that she did.
Oh, right.
And so it'd be good to bring that
whatever,
as a DS9 episode of, you know, the old people come back, or the old, you know, whatever. I don't know what happened. And then she has to
Will
deal
Riker
with it.
Shows up, and their sparks fly. But it turns out to be Thomas.
No, that's good, because she's actually slept with Riker already. And so when he comes aboard, replacing Kira with Ro in that story where she thinks it's Will again, and then, you know.
Right. But they have a history.
Yeah.
Like a
wink. But their history is kind of muddy at best. Because...
No, but I'm saying Thomas doesn't know that history because he's not Will.
Oh, yeah. Oh, then, but that breaks the episode, because then she just, it's like, you're not the real Will Riker.
It's too late.
No, but he, he's smooth enough that he gets through it. But he's like...
Because they both agreed never to talk about it again.
We need the sideburns peeled.
They did agree to never talk about
it. That's all he says is, I thought we did agree not to talk about it, and that actually happened to be what they agreed to do.
That's a good callback.
Yeah.
I was also thinking that you could have some... little, like, you could have a friendship between Ro and O'Brien continuing, because they were...
Oh, yeah.
They had a few scenes together.
I'm imagining like a Khan-like scene in the Q episode where he's like, you know, oh, Ro, you know, you. And like, she's never she's never been in a Q episode. I mean, that I know of, right? And so we're like, right. What? When was she around for?
That's true, because we never really got that with Worf and O'Brien. Like, but I feel like we would get that more. You could write that more with Ro and O'Brien. Like, the they reminisce officers. More about time on the Enterprise. And remember when we went places, like we weren't stuck in a station.
You were in the transporter room, I was stuck on the helm. Now we actually get to do stuff, you know.
Remember when Troy was in charge and she had no idea what she
Remember when she thought when she thought a sonic wave
she thought it was a cosmic string.
Totally. Oh, that was good.
Yeah. I can't believe we made it out of there alive.
did the battlefield bridge feel cramped to you? It really felt cramped to me. Like, there's no elbow room.
That's funny. There was one other thing I was just going to bring up in that same vein that we were
One last thing. O'Brien's like, yeah, here's a secret. You know that time we went to that mission to that station? I didn't make it across when the saucer separated, so I wasn't a part of that adventure at all. I'm just chilling on the saucer the whole time. No.
So let's move a little bit beyond season one. And Philip already had a really good idea, both in terms of the Defiant episode and the episode called Defiant, because that's when Thomas Riker steals the Defiant. In a couple of other examples. But what else could we kind of inject Ro's history that we know of into Deep Space Nine lore and move it forward?
Well, I'm wondering if we bring Worf in. By we, I mean we're doing whatever we want. But is Worf brought in or not? And that's just more of a curious question. But I don't think they need to, because you have O'Brien and Ro. Not that I realize Worf's a bigger TNG name, I don't feel it'll be needed at that point. But
yeah, I don't know if you could. I mean, it's season four is such a tremendous monumental shift in Deep Space Nine that like you kind of can't do it without it. So I would just say, keep him there. Cause we would have to envision on top of the new Deep Space Nine that we're already envisioning, we would have to envision another.
Yeah.
Like the whole rest of the layer show. Of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we would have to reconstruct the whole last 3.5 seasons.
But. Because again, with Ro, we're kind of, I mean, yes, Kira's still there, but in essence, we're kind of still replacing Kira. Like Ro's the one who's going to be on the Defiant when they go places, not Kira.
Right.
Like, they're not both going to be going makes everywhere.
Sense. See, Kira would be, she would still be the one to go to that moon to deal with that old guy.
Right, but she'd stay on the station more often than not.
Yeah, no. I'm saying there are definitely things that Kira would do that she, like, does now. It would be, like, the domestic stuff, right? The stuff that's on Bajor.
Right.
But Ro... So you
maybe she catches the shuttle with Keiko to Bajor, and they stay for a month or so. Like it happens all the time.
Oh my goodness! Well, so this is a question. I was going to say you don't need
explore
to have
the fire caves. What could go wrong?
Who's Rose romance going to be? Because every character in DS9 does have a romance. Because I was going to say you don't need to have it. I'm like, actually, every character does.
I kind of see her hooking up with Bashir.
You were about to say O'Brien.
Oh, no.
Well, no. Only one Bajoran can have his baby.
Oh, jeez. But no, I honestly feel that their personalities would mesh a little better than Bashir's.
I feel like she would beat him up in the first season.
Well, she totally would, but, you know, because she likes him. That's why she does. She does. Yeah, you can tell. That's a good question. I mean, no, I still think Bashir, but I haven't given it a ton.
I mean, it could be Burrell. It could be whoever.
Burrell.
It could be Morn. I don't know. Maybe she
might. I was going to say Morn. That'd be great. A completely off-camera romance. No.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I love it. Have a wedding, a random wedding in, like, season six. And you're like, when were you guys? Like, we've been dating the whole time. And, like, now if you go watch again, like, season two or three.
He goes back to my place and we talk for hours.
Yeah, if you watch, like, season two or three, you'll always see them in the background, like, having a date that you've never noticed before.
She's always sitting next to him. Well, okay, here's a question then. Do we still have the Odo Kira relationship? I mean, because we didn't get rid of Kira.
Again, it feels like some of that stuff, you know, even if you like it or not, it just feels like such a fabric of the DNA of Deep Space Nine.
It's like a tapestry when you pull on one thread.
You know, so I would say keep it. I'd say keep that, and we won't mess with that. That'll still be an important part, but you know, that's a good question. I don't know who Ro would be romantically involved with. Not a lot of eligible bachelors that we know of. Maybe
Quark.
Rom? Quark? No. I don't really like that idea.
The thing is, she's so close to Kira's temperament.
I'll throw this out here. It could always be Kira.
Hey, if we run a really rewrite it, yeah, that'd be fun. But, I mean, whatever. You could introduce a new character, you know, whatever.
I mean, that's the other tricky thing is by adding Ro and keeping Kira, we're adding a whole nother character to an already very large cast to maintain.
It's only if you add Worf.
I mean, yeah, that's true, but...
So I think Worf and Ro would... Yeah, she could be like a... Him hang out with the listening to Klingon opera on the Defiant.
I think it would be really awkward though, because I assume by the time he shows up, she'll outrank him. And like, she was an ensign when he was a lieutenant. And like,
here's the real question: is she on the Defiant during the events
of first contact?
Oh, no.
Do we have to fully rewrite that episode as
Listen, guys, next time I'm hosting, we are going to be talking about Sisko and Ro were on the Defiant.
Jeez.
No, we will.
Oh, wait, I get it. She falls in love with, what's his face? The helmsman of the Defiant.
Adam Scott.
Hey, you know what? She could, there's plenty of one-off characters. I'm sure we could.
Well, it'd be interesting to. Yeah. Well, I say it's interesting. I know.
Eddington. Dun, dun, dun.
Hey, now that's not actually a bad idea because, as we know,
she sympathizes
with the Maquis. That could change the entire Maquis.
And he betrays her.
What if it's Chakotay?
Oh, and we double and we domino Voyager. And we domino set him up, and then he leaves and goes. Actually, that's actually a brilliant idea.
That would be fun
because if they set up Ro to go to DS9, set up Chakotay, and then he goes on to Voyager. Oh, that would be
really interesting because
actually an awesome idea.
Because Voyager, correct me if I'm wrong, is the only one not to have a launching character. Because DS9, of course, had O'Brien. And so Voyager is...
I mean, they have a passing the torch character with Quark in the beginning, don't have a character that
cast.
Transitions. Yeah, no, they don't.
I mean, I get Locarno. No, I get that. But no, we're not counting that. Yeah. But that would be interesting to introduce Chakotay, and then he's in the new show. So I hope you liked him.
Yeah, there we go. Let's keep it rolling. That'd be fun.
Oh, man, because then you literally, like, you don't notice until there's that scene where he's flying the Valjean. And you're like, wait, that's Chakotay. And then you're like, oh my gosh, now he's stuck in the Delta Quadrant. And then you have Ro with the fallout of, like, he's gone. Like, now we know someone who knows someone on Voyager that's gone. Mm-hmm. So we get the impact on DS9.
And maybe.
And people back, I'll never stop looking for you, Chakotay.
Maybe, Ro was somehow responsible.
Let's just fly the station into the Gamma Quadrant and I'll go that way.
Maybe Ro is instrumental in getting Tuvok assigned as a spy. Like, she's the one who gave the information. And so Chakotay finds that out in Voyager. Yeah. And so you sort of get that crossover, even though there's no way to crossover, but you get that betrayal, quote, hand quote, from Chakotay's side.
Well, you could, I mean, you could easily, like, rewrite one of those Eddington episodes where one those goons that he's with, would one of them would just be Chakotay, right, and one of them would be Tuvok.
And she has a little bit of, yeah, I mean... Oh gosh! And then
so I feel like Chakotay, you know, could have taken over from Eddington.
Their minds watching Caretaker because it's going to be like, wait, there's that background character. He's they're on the bridge now.
He's literally the character. First character in the scene in the series.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Damage.
So there you go. Look at that. We're already rewriting for better.
And see, that's why Chakotay calls his ship the Valjean because of the
Eddington connection.
Yeah. The editing connection. Editing. Yeah. That connection.
Bald guy.
Eddington.
See, this is fun, man. This is fun.
That of all the things we've said, connecting her to Chakotay, that's brilliant.
Because it could be like, this makes it creepy, but so I'm sorry for suggesting it, but like, he was her old instructor at the academy, because that makes that creepy. But I'm trying to figure out when they would have met, but anyway.
Oh, well, yeah. I'd say they met while she was, you know, doing Maquis underground stuff, like for the Federation.
Oh, okay. We could have had, because when she leaves TNG, what season is that that she's in? I don't know when.
Seven.
No. Not because we're not counting that. Like, when was her last?
Initially, she was in season 5.
Because then you could have that. Maybe she was assigned to the Maquis after the Enterprise underground, and then she's recalled back to deep.
Right. She doesn't go straight from the Enterprise to being at Sisko's side. Yeah.
Hey, you know what, too? Not to make it too muddy, because this is going to be really messy, just because we're rewriting it. But if you were to do it, if you still wanted to do that episode, Preemptive Strike, you could still do it in Season 7 TNG, but like have her go, you know,
crossover.
She's getting loaned back to TNG.
And she doesn't even need to go. Like what you do is you have the Enterprise crew encounter her while she's undercover.
Ah,
and, so you can still have that sort of episode,
right?
Obviously, cool. The ending would have to be different in some fashion, unless, you know, it's Deep Space Nine. You literally could have her not make it the full 7 seasons of Deep Space Nine, and you could have her just, I mean, you know, a defect.
Well, I was thinking again.
Now she's on Voyager.
Uh-huh. Oh my goodness!
She just keeps going
instead of these a set of 7 and 9. No, because I was thinking that if you want to get really like crazy, like you could have something where Ro defects or does something. Because remember, you could do whatever you want, but like the Dominion will wipe out the Maquis. So just remember that.
Right.
But maybe, you know, it's a sort of like a. In real life, I don't know if she ever got pregnant during this time, but, you know, she takes a year off for whatever reason, and so, like, they defect her character
goes
in season 5.
Or something.
Yeah, and then, like, in season 7, they rescue her, you know, and then you're like, what?
But, no, either Chakotay being, like, the right-hand man of Eddington, or literally replacing the editing role, because now we're super invested in this character and now he's on Voyager and it's way more interesting, but
yeah, that would be,
we can't fix all the shows, guys. We just gotta rewrite as we can.
That would be really fascinating though. Like making Sisko's rival be one of the main, antagonistic roles on that show, become one of our heroes on the next show. Like, well, that redemption arc would be really cool.
Pissed Chakotay is on when Sisko launches the resin into the atmosphere of the planet. Like, you know, obviously the next step would be that we get more of a split Maquis Starfleet crew on Voyager, which we all kind of felt that would have been a better, more dynamic story. But
and then Chakotay's always like, Sisko wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Or Sisko would have done that.
Whether it's based on this conversation or not, but I definitely feel like Sisko and Chakotay would not get along. They just would not be buddies.
No, I don't know.
But
he'd punch him.
Like, they have different volume levels. You know, Sisko's, there's all talking and Chakotay's.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, Cisco's like, yeah, are you another uniform betrayer, Mr. Chakotay? Because you feel like one.
And then he asks, Chakotay asks him if he wants to know his spirit animal.
No.
He's like, are you going to grab my ear? Because that happens a lot. I don't like
it. Because, like, I'm a demigod, so no.
Yeah.
One element of this whole thing that we haven't touched on that I'm actually kind of interested to hear what you guys might think. What is, you know, even if we're keeping if we're keeping Carib, which obviously we are in this conversation, but what is, I feel like there needs to be an angle with Dukat, some sort of something. I don't know if it's like they knew each other from before, but I think there's got to be a way to distinguish the Kira Dukat relationship.
Dukat can't tell the difference between Kira and Ro.
Thinks they're the same.
No,
but I think there's got to be something. He's got to be really like, he like really pushes them against each other. Or yeah.
Well, if not that we have to. If they're
maybe he's totally duplicitous, where he's like you said, against each other. Like he's, you know, super coy with Kira, but he's super antagonistic to Ro, and she's like, what? What gives? Like, he acts totally different to the two of us.
Well, and it could be that maybe he's... Well, I don't want to change a lot about the character, but that, you know, Dukat is sort of playing that role of giving Starfleet, hand quote, a reasonable demands to Starfleet. But his history is obviously deep into, you know, Kira knows his history. Don't believe him, you know, right. but he seems to offer a friendly front to Starfleet, you know, as far as what, but I don't know. So that, but or if you made Kira and Ro romantic, then maybe that's where his antagonism comes, because obviously he wants Kira. And so, you know, what he does to Ro because of
that. I mean, again, obviously his primary connection is Sisko. As the antagonistic him, yeah. But he just has the backstory with Kira.
He's Ro's real father.
Maybe he's Seska's real father, and then we find
I forgot about Seska. No.
Yeah. No, but there's a, you know, there's a
top. Is Sesko the child from the Empok Nor tribe? Oh man. Oh, that was an episode for sure.
Yeah, one of the things Deep Space Nine does that I'm not particularly fond of is like the later twists and turns with stuff with Dukat and Kira. And I'm just like, okay, man. Like,
yeah.
Dukat
and Kira's mom, I thought, was the stretch. I'm like,
yeah, that's where it broke it for me.
He looks really good for 80.
And Kira's mom was played by Nana Visitor to make it all better.
So let's think about this. Is there anything else that we want to talk about? Any other aspects that Ro might fit in or maybe stick out or change significantly what
is,
we understand?
Is she going to have a friendship with Dax like Kira does? Like, is it going to be the three of them like palling around or... I mean, again, because we're adding an extra character into the mix. Or is Bax more of a friend with Kira and not with Ro or vice versa?
I'm trying to...
It's tough to say. I mean...
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine who's Ro's friends are. Because, you know, I think it's kind of a Worf situation.
Geordi. I mean, she has gone through that experience with him. I'd say they're friends through combined experience. Mm-hmm.
And Guinan. But
she's good buddies with Guinan.
Yeah. But I think it's like a Worf experience,
Quark.
where, you know, Worf had friends in the Enterprise, but you take him to somewhere else and suddenly he's the loner again. I think that's Ro. So I think it'll take a while to warm up. Because at the end of the day, I don't think Worf had any friends. I mean, like, he didn't hung. He occasionally would have drinks with O'Brien, but other than Dax.
I mean, not till Martok. I mean, really.
But that's, yeah.
Hang on. He had a whole group of people give him a birthday cake and everything, Philip. I remember this. So he had plenty.
Well, on the Enterprise. But I'm saying once you take him out of the Enterprise.
Yeah, he's saying on DS9.
Oh, on DS9. Yeah. Okay,
yeah. That's fair. But I think that's what happened to Ro.
Where he instantly becomes fish out of water, like, you know, doesn't have all those friends yet. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. It's partly.
Or O'Brien. I mean, because, again, they know each other from the Enterprise.
But O'Brien already has a best buddy at this point.
And a family.
Does he? No, just kidding.
I'm trying to think of... It's hard to say. Like, a lot of that stuff comes out of natural chemistry between...
Well, like, Lita? Like, where do we go with this?
Romantic relationship. No.
I'm trying to think of, like, something not expected. Maybe, like... What? I don't want to take anything... Like, Garrick? Because I love Garrick, and I just want to see more Garrick.
Rowan Garrick. That is an episode I would want to watch.
That is actually really interesting. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Kira and
Garrick... No. Here we go. We have... Odo and Quark climbing one mountain, and Ro and Garrick climbing another mountain, and they're racing
like DuckTales to the genie lamp.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I'm not sure who she'd befriend first. My natural inclination is to say Quark, just because
I can see that
it took Guinan being nosy,
just a thing for bartenders.
Barkeepy, yeah, to like be like, hey, what's going on? And like, she would open up to her eventually, and maybe she'd open up.
Oh, God, does she marry
like, Quark? Did she ever tell you the time that I got turned into a child for about a week? What?
does she marry Rom instead of Lita? Is that what we're leading up to?
No,
it's we're not sacrificing any other characters, we're just splitting Kira basically.
Oh, yeah, gotta get that Lita story arc. I get it.
That's the thing. There's so many characters at this point.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, if any Star Trek series can handle an extra character, it would be Deep Space Nine. So
it's the character that breaks the station's back, and
it might be. It could be. You know, but
because I mean, I think, and again, this is going too far. Like, you don't necessarily need to bring in Ezra if you have that many characters.
That's a good point. But then I feel like, for a writer, the temptation would be like, oh, we'll stick the Dax symbiote inside of Ro. Oh, and now it's Dax Ro. And I'd be like, no, don't do that. Just don't do it. Just let the character.
They call her DR for short. Sup, DR? Is that an old man?
that would be actually, I get the temptation, and it might actually be interesting, only because if you were to take a very well-established character, like if...
And kill them, and then regret it immediately.
You know what? This sounds like a great "what if" episode. What if we took the Dax symbiote and put it in one of the other characters?
All of them. Space Nine? We just cover every single character.
We could just cover them all. So let's hold on to that nugget.
Quark
that
Dax coming like that soon.
Quark Dax. Oh man. Okay. Any closing thoughts on Ensign Ro, or now Lieutenant, or possibly Commander, or whatever she is at this point?
Commodore
Ro on Deep Space Nine. What do you guys think?
I'm just imagining Ro in all the different uniforms. It would have been cool to see her. You
know, that's true. No, I think they could have made it work. I think it actually doesn't change as much as like when we put Sisko on the Enterprise. Like, that changed a lot of that. I mean, it's one movie, so you have to cover a lot. And it started to feel like, you know, characters are not having as much to do because there's more characters. But it feels like Ro would fit. And I really like the handoff, and especially the idea with Chakotay. I think that would be really, really interesting to just domino effect it.
Agree.
Yeah. What do you think, Philip?
Yeah, I don't think I have anything else to add. I just want to see more of her. I mean, like you do.
Yeah, I loved Ro.
Instead, she got lost on the Pegasus, so.
Yeah, I loved Ro. I thought she was a great character, and we did get to see a little bit of Space Michelle Forbes later on with Battlestar, but it's not the same. But that's okay. It's okay. We got 7 years of Kira, who is also a very interesting and complex character, so it's like, you know, it's like I said, it's they worked with what they had. But an alternate universe where we have Ro would have been interesting. So, but that's it for this week. Darren, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they find you?
They can find me on drscifi.com, DRSCIFI.
And Philip, if people want to get a hold of you as well, where would they find you?
They can find me on Twitter at NCPublicServant.
And people can find me on Twitter as well, at one of Dan. That's the number one, not the word, as in there is only one right Bajoran. But I'll let you guys figure out.
Wow. Shots fired.
I'm Daniel Prue.
I'm Philip Gilfus.
I'm Darren Moser.
Stranded here on SETI Alpha 3.